UK Wine Show, show number 121. VDP with Michael Aderman. On this week's show, we're talking with Michael Aderman. Michael is the vice president of the German VDP Group, a group of quality-focused German producers. We find out, what is VDP?
And in the news, Wine Courier Amtrak goes under, South Africa triumph at Decanter Awards, and German Pinot Noir scoops top trophy.
G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 121 for the 5th of September 2008. My name's Chris Scott, and on this week's show we're talking with Michael Aderman. Michael is from the VDP, and this is the first in a series of shows on Germany that we're going to cover over the next couple of weeks. I recorded the shows earlier in the year on a trip to Germany, and next week we spend some time in the Mosel, and we complete the series looking at East Germany and the effects of the fall of the Berlin Wall. But before we get on with that, let's have the news with Jane.
Thanks, Chris. Hundreds of wine distributors and merchants in the UK are facing disruptions to their wine deliveries, and 900 jobs are at risk at British courier firm Amtrak as it fell into administration last week. Ernst & Young have been appointed as administrators. Amtrak specialised in national and international parcel freight and had a dedicated wine arm called WineTrack. They were one of only a few couriers with a dedicated service, handling fragile packages and glass, while also offering insurance against subsequent loss or damage. According to Ernst & Young, Amtrak has found trading in the current economic climate challenging, and as consumer spending power has weakened, their business was suffering. The Amtrak parcel business suffered a loss of £29 million in the first half, with delivery volumes down 9% in June compared to the same month last year.
Getting a good courier company to ship wine around the UK is very hard. Luckily, I don't use Amtrak, or didn't use Amtrak, but when we were looking for a supplier, we had an absolute nightmare. Many couriers don't like to ship wine because, let's face it, it's in a glass bottle. And the courier company I use is a company called Way Group. Now, they're fairly reliable, but they don't offer insurance on their shipments. And when they do break wine, it's on my head, not theirs. Thankfully, I only get one or two breakages a year, so it's okay. What's next, Jane?
Well, Chris, when it comes to wine, you get what you pay for. That's according to the Decanter World Wine Awards. The results of the awards show overwhelmingly that price means quality, and that the number of top awards, that's gold medals, international and regional trophies, increases as the wine goes up in value. Although a huge number of wines in the under £10 category won medals, more golds were won in the more expensive categories. Overall, though, Decanter judges said consumers should expect to pay an average of £6.99 for a decent bottle of wine.
It's not surprising that more expensive wines win more awards. After all, if you win a lot of awards, demand increases, and over time, so does your price. Occasionally, you do get a cheap wine that wins an award. The difficult thing is to reliably produce an award-winning wine. And if you can do that, then the wine doesn't stay cheap for long. Also, I don't agree with the quote, price means quality. There are a lot of wines out there that are very expensive, and they don't have the quality there. So personally, I think it's less about price means quality, but quality often means price.
Good point, Chris. So who triumphed at the Decanter Awards this week? Well, South Africa swept the board with 12 regional trophies and 6 out of the 26 international trophies. The country won the International Bordeaux Varietal Trophy for under £10 and the International Rhone Varietal Trophy for over £10, as well as winning the international trophies for Chardonnay in both the under £10 and over £10 categories. It then took the International Sauvignon Blanc under £10 trophy, beating top Chilean and New Zealand wines. According to the latest data from AC Nielsen, South Africa's the fastest growing category in the UK off-trade, growing by 13% in volume against market growth of just 1%. South Africa is the fifth largest importer to the UK, and the UK accounts for a quarter of total South African wine exports. But it wasn't just South Africa. Germany also triumphed at the Decanter Awards by taking top international trophy for Pinot Noir. The Dernauer Farvingert Spätburgunder Grosses Gewächs 2005 from Weingut Meyer-Nalkel in Aire first won a regional trophy, the best Pinot Noir in Germany. It was then judged against three other regional trophies, Wild Earth Pinot from Central Otago, New Zealand, Kernos Sorocchio from Casablanca, Chile, and the Maison Camille Giraud Jampatan Grand Cru 2006 from Burgundy. The judges described the £40 wine as seductive and found it so accomplished they thought they were in Burgundy.
I haven't tried the German Pinot, but I tried quite a lot of top German Pinots at the VDB tasting in Mainz and was, to be honest, underwhelmed by them. It's not to say this is a great wine. I'm just really surprised, especially when you compare it to Wild Earth, which I've been drinking a bit of lately, and it's very, very nice. And Wild Earth was also named top red wine at the International Wine Challenge earlier in the week. But there is one other award in the IWC that we should mention. What was that, Jane?
That's right, Chris, because 3050 has won the International Wine Challenge Educator of the Year for 2008.
Yay!
an award that was created last year to recognise companies at the forefront of wine education. So we're absolutely over the moon. So why did we win it? Well, here's a quote direct from the judges. 3050 is the most worthy recipient of the International Wine Challenge Educator of the Year 2008. On their website, 3050.co.uk, there's an incredible array of interviews and news items using a relatively new medium, podcasting. There's a focus on wine and health, and their tastings are a good outreach to consumers. So thanks to all of you for listening and making the podcast a success. That's all from me this week, but don't forget you can get these stories in full at our website, 3050.co.uk.
Cheers, Jane. As Jane said, we're both really, really pleased. We've been working hard for about 6 years producing tastings and over the last 2 years making this podcast. And it's the first time the industry's recognised our work, so we're really, really happy. But next up, let's get straight into it with the Spotlight. I hope you guys have enjoying the Spotlight. And this week's Spotlight, we're looking at the results from last month's poll. And the question was, which one of the following do you mostly drink? Australian wine? And they got 36%. French wine, 39%. Italian wine, 13%. And Spanish wine, 11%. With 99 people polled, the results aren't really that surprising. Australia and France slug it out for dominance in the UK market, typically with France taking the lead in restaurants, while Australia typically dominates the shops and pub market. Italy and Spain are significantly behind France and Australia, but given that Italy produces at least as much wine as France, it certainly doesn't end up dominating the UK market. Australia in the UK is a bit unusual in that it produces significantly less wine than France. In fact, Bordeaux produces more wine than all of Australia. And with export sales from Australia dropping, caused by the lack of grapes associated with the devastating drought that's stricken Australia over the last couple of years, it may be an opportunity for France to wrestle the lead off Australia again. That pretty much ends this week's Spotlight, but our current poll question is this. Which glass size would you prefer to be served in a pub? A small glass, 125ml, a medium glass, 175ml, or a large glass, 250ml. Do go to our website, 3050.co.uk. You can click on podcast and get through to the poll there. Next up, we have the interview with Michael Edelman on VDP. Hi, I'm here with Michael Edelman. You're one of the five vice presidents from the VDP. How are you, Michael?
Very fine. I think we have a wonderful fair here at the Mainzer Weinbörse, and there's a great response.
Excellent. Well, we'll get on to the fair in a minute, but tell us a wee bit about yourself, Michael. Are you, you're a grape grower?
Yes, we're producing since 700 years in my winery some wine. This is north of Stuttgart, so in the south of Germany.
What region's that?
This is Baden-Württemberg.
Excellent. And what sort of wines do you make down there?
We have an old tradition in Germany. This is always a big number of wines, and I've got 12 different grapes. So, of course, you can imagine I have something like 30 bottlings a year.
Okay, so quite a bit.
Quite a bit, yes.
And now that you're a vice president of the VDP, are you in charge of a particular area of the VDP, or is it there's just five of you to discuss amongst yourselves or argue?
Yes, I'm in a group which tries really to bring a short message over to the public This is to show what we are aiming on.
What does the VDP stand for?
It is a small group of vintners in Germany. It's only 200 of them. And we have vineyards of about 4% of the German general surface. So really, don't think it is a big surface we're working on. But you find quite a lot of traditional vintners over there and quite a lot of newcomers.
What does the actual initials VDP stand for?
The VDP means Verband Deutscher Prädikatsweingüter, and this means high-quality wineries, and we concentrate on the top quality. If you
okay, and predicate, that's a bit like the
Cabernet, Spätlese, and so on.
Yeah, it's what is it? QMP, isn't it? On you see on bottles of wine.
Yes, exactly. But actually, it means also that the wineries themselves try to produce a good wine.
How do you do that, though? How do you ensure that wineries produce a good wine? Do you have sort of rules and regulations that they have to meet?
Yes, the first thing, we don't produce much on the surface. So normally, maximum is only 7,000 liters a hectare. But the real average is about 6,500. So this is much less than the general production in Germany. And of course, we have a lot of regulation concerning the different grapes, so they must be locally traditional mostly. And of course, we are not trying to introduce new techniques which do harm to the wine. So top techniques like we know from the New World are not allowed. For example, the spinning cone.
Oh, yeah. No, well, spinning cane is quite a controversial figure in Europe anyway, isn't it?
For example.
For example, or particularly if you're a Spanish person at the moment, spinning cane is quite controversial. Okay, so you control some of the weight, so 6,500 litres per hectare, so that's what, 65 hectolitres per hectare, isn't it? Which is a more sort of standard way I think about wines, which is still, you know, it's not high, but it's not particularly low, is it? I was reading somewhere that the average weight, the average is about 100 hectolitres per hectare, 110 for the whole of Germany. Is that right?
Quite true. So, of course, when you produce Pinot Noir for the top quality, you don't produce more than 30, 35 hectolitres a hectare. And Riesling normally doesn't pass over 55, maximum 60 hectolitres, maximum.
And where's the extra? What's the big croppers? Do you allow things like Müller Thurgau in there? They're quite enthusiastic cropping wines.
Yes, of course, they still exist, and Müller Thurgau is much better than its reputation. But, of course, we also have some grapes which have a higher quantity.
Like what sort of grapes are they?
For example, if you don't control it, Silvaner can have more, or Lemberger, which is a red grape in my region.
Okay.
You must really have your hand on the production.
Fantastic. And how long has the VDP been going for, Michael?
In 2010, we will have 100 years anniversary.
Fantastic. So that's quite a while, isn't it?
Quite a while. And of course, at the beginning, it was, let's say, a little club of well-educated gentlemen who are trying to be nice to each other. And today we are nice to each other, but we try to produce really constantly good quality.
Oh, so it started out like a gentleman's club.
Yes.
Was it like a private wee group of guys who are just, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours?
In some way, I wouldn't say it was just that way, but let's say nowadays we have a real controlling system and we have a very strict regulation for the production.
And what other things do you guys do? I presume members of the VDP must pay some money to the VDP for the membership. What do you guys, you must have a budget. What do you do with your budget? How do you spend your money to promote the wines?
So, of course, we have some special fairs. We also go to general fairs like the ProWine or the Winexpo with some vintners. But the money normally goes more for the PR and, of course, for what is necessary to have this big apparatus.
Sure. We're actually recording this in Mainz, just outside of Frankfurt. And there's a big trade show on today, and I've been going around tasting some of the wines here. And they've been really, really good. I've been quite enjoying them, actually. I've been learning a wee bit about how to tell the difference between slate and quartz with the acidity and things like that. So it's been quite interesting. I know, for example, in the UK, there are German wines, but there's not a lot of choice. And it's actually quite nice to be able to just rattle through loads and loads of wines and just start to get a feel for what the heck's going on.
We're working on that, and we're very proud to have about 200 foreign visitors this time on 2,000 of the specialized public. So we hope that we can change on the long run the acceptance for German wines in the UK as well.
Sure. How long does the show go for, or this show?
Only 2 days.
2 days, and we're in day one, aren't we?
Yes.
That's fine. I just only arrived. I got up at four o'clock to catch a flight here, so I'm a bit vague on some things.
We've got to hurry up, yes.
No, that's fine. We're not in a hurry. Okay, so the VDP, it's not really about wines from Mosel at all. It's wines from all over Germany.
All Germany, yes, yep. Of course.
And I heard, slightly controversially, you included an East German into the VDP, about almost 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, but their quality is so good today that they have our full admiration.
Is there many wines from Germany? Because when I think of German wines, I think of the West, and I don't really think of the East Germans. What's going on there?
The change of the climate during a week or during a day is very positive for the aromas. So sometimes you could think that regions are not really good for wine, but actually the East has this great advantage, like the northern parts of Germany, to think of the Moselle, that you have a real fan of aromas because you have colds and warmth, you have rains and droughts. So this change is very important.
Okay, and how many East Germans are in the VDP now?
Oh, I think it's there are five, actually.
Oh, okay, so it's creeping up slowly.
Yes.
Okay. I noticed I've got some figures that you guys kindly provided to us, and it said in 1990 there was 161 members, and in 2008, 198, which is quite good. You know, numbers are growing up. But you had 104 new members, but you lost 67 members. Why would people leave the VDP, or were they kicked out? What was the story there?
This shows how we are working on the quality, because nearly most of them, all of them, left because one told them, please, either you get better or you have got to leave.
Okay, so there was more asked to leave or put some more work in.
Yes, so it's really working. Of course, we help each other. Also, we have a special training in the different regions, and this will even be better in a few years. But, of course, at the end, you must get
produce the goods
constantly.
Yeah, sure. No, I understand. So, part of it's PR, part of it's training. Is there anything else that the VDP really tries to do as part of its remit?
No, I would say our main aim actually is to show the great sites of Germany, and we have such a lot of good vineyards, which are not sufficiently known and which were really forgotten about some years. And we try to give them a new profile, and we call it Großes Gewächs, Great Growth, if you like. And of course, the French system was a good example. So we really try there to define the quality.
If I was a member of the public and I wanted to know, and I didn't know much about German wines, and I wanted a really nice German wine, what would I be looking for? How would I know a wine's a VDP?
So at first, of course, you see on top, it is the cap with an eagle.
Yep.
And sometimes with a VDP sign. And
The eagle's got a couple of grapes in the middle, isn't it?
Almost. Yes.
On its chest. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 grapes in the middle.
It's the traditional sign for the VDP.
Yep.
And when you have a great growth, you have a special bottle with a one and a grape on it, so it's in the glass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. It stands proud of the glass. A one with those six grapes there.
Yes, this is a signal, and if you look at the front label, it's only the site you see, the year, mm-hmm. and of course the grape, which is mostly Riesling. So 60% of our grapes is Riesling in the VDP.
Obviously, you don't mind which grapes are used as long as they're traditional grapes, is that right?
Traditional grapes, yes.
What about Cabernet Sauvignon or anything like that sneaking
no,
in?
No, it's not allowed.
Not allowed for this. Yet.
You can do it for an ordinary wine, but not for the top class.
So probably the easiest thing to find is look for the eagles on the capsule, really. Yes. And if you think it's a good wine, look for maybe a one stenciled into the bottle. And has that always been like that, or has that just come in recently?
The cap has been introduced 20 years ago.
So most of my Rieslings will be labeled with it.
And the special label and the bottle only about 5 years ago.
Okay, so if the wine's quite old, you may not see that on there.
No.
But then you'll always see the angle, the eagle on the top.
Yes, and of course it's very important to know also the producer. Of course, you have a lot of very well-known people who are exporting.
Okay. I've been talking to a couple of producers while I was at the show, and a couple of things came up in discussions. One of the things was Cabernet. Now, to me, must waits for Cabernet, because I always think of Cabernet more... It's Cabernet, by definition, is...
Uh-huh. A light wine.
A light wine. Is it a light wine, or is it more about the sugar level or the must wait at harvest?
It's the must wait at harvest. You're not allowed to add some sugar, like for ordinary Qualitätsweine. And of course, we must be very keen on keeping a top level of alcohol. So actually, it's discussed to have 12.5 as the maximum of alcohol content.
Is that true, though? I thought there was cabinets that were slowly creeping up in alcohol.
There will be a regulation, so we're actually discussing, and I'm sure in 2 years' time, latest, we will have it.
But it's not now?
Not yet. Of course, most of my colleagues are respecting this unwritten line.
Oh, okay, so it's unwritten. So you get a few people maybe creeping up with their alcohol levels.
Still.
Still. They're going to be pulled into line soon.
We will change that.
You'll sort them out. Okay. And when you're doing your marketing... how do you market? You know, do you sort of brand the eagle with the six grapes in it? Or you were saying earlier, a bit like the French, or maybe it sounds a wee bit like the Aussies, because they're doing a push, the wines of Australia, you know, regional heroes, where they take a top producer and they try and push that top producer so that people become aware of it. And hopefully that'll encourage other people to try other wines from the region. Is that a similar type of program you're doing here?
I think this is a very good system. Unfortunately, in the past, it was not very much respected by the German officials. But this is actually changing. So we're not only thinking of ourselves, but we're thinking that this is a good system to promote the whole wine business. So we are going to the US, we are going to the United Kingdom, and we try really to be present. So many of us go to London Wine Trade Fair, and things like that. And always you can recognize them under the label of VDP.
Excellent. Okay, then. I think we better finish up there, Michael. I know one of your staff are very keen to grab you for something else. So thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Michael. Next week, we're going to be heading off to the Mosel, in particular, Goldtropschen, to be precise. I found it a fantastic place with its crazy steep slopes and traction engines to get you to the top. It was quite picturesque as well, which was fantastic. Just to finish up with this week, we've got the quote, this time by Samuel Johnson. Samuel was an English author, and after 9 years of work on his Dictionary of English Language, which was published in 1755, and brought him popularity and success, but he was also a well-known author of his time. Recently, and this is how I know him, he shot to fame in the third series of Blackadder, where Robbie Coltrane played him and tried to get Hugh Laurie, who was playing George IV, to patron his dictionary. Sadly, this quote was not as funny as Blackadder, but I think it's very accurate. Wine makes a man more pleased with himself. I do not say it makes him more pleasing to others. Until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Chris Scott and the news is read by Jane Scott. To listen to other shows, visit ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.